I'm beginning to see things for a change that I've never seen before. I'm beginning to have a new outlook regarding the way God handles things, the way God deals with my life. I've had some things happen that I would question the goodness of God, the wisdom of God, the love of God, the grace of God. And I'm beginning to see some things that begin to show me that God knows what He's been doing. And that I want to share this morning with you just a few of the insights that I'm beginning to get. I don't know everything on the subject. And I may even say some things that may not set too well with you. You may not agree with, but I hope you listen to me. And I pray I do not confuse you. We're taking the book of Proverbs Sunday by Sunday and chapter by chapter, and selecting from a chapter some portion to preach on. Now, as I enter into chapter 7, I almost got afraid. I didn't know anything I could preach on. I didn't want to preach on wild women. And, you know, that's pretty well what the entire chapter is about. It's a timely subject because we do have a lot of wild men and wild women today and immoral living. But that's not what I really wanted to deal on, and so I looked the chapter over and decided I wanted to preach on verses 1 through 3. Now, I don't know whether you picked those verses out or not, but that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. My son, now notice, my son or my daughter or my child, and I believe these are words of God to His children, though they were words of Solomon to his children, they are God's wisdom. He said, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart." I started to say upon thy toes, but that's not fair. "And bind them upon the fingers and write them upon the table of thy heart." What is he saying here? He's saying, get in a good supply of the commandments of God. Get you a real good supply, like you go down to the grocery store and buy up for a week. Get you a good supply of the commandments of God. Why? According to this verse, now, because they are worthwhile. They are beneficial to you. Now, most Christians don't get all of the commandments of God they can. If you were given a day in a grocery store and said, "Now we're going to give you 30 minutes, get all you can," man, we would fly from one aisle to the other getting all we could. And yet when God says, "In my cupboard there are lots of good things, get all you can," and we sometimes don't hardly go and get any at all. We have the wrong opinion of the goods that's found in the cupboard of God. Now most Christians today are so busy stocking their bank account and stocking up their grocery shelf and stocking up their trophy case and stocking up their merit awards that they don't have any interest or concern to stock up on the wisdom of God. As we are concerned with this theme this morning, I want to jump into chapter 8 and borrow a few verses. I know that's sort of against our principle as we go through the book, but I need to borrow a couple of verses from Proverbs 8 to connect with those that I've just read from Proverbs 7. Just going to borrow two, if you let me do that, verses 10 and 11, because they're talking about the same thing. He says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and receive my knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies," says who? Says God. Huh? "And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to wisdom." Now here we find that God gives His opinion of His instructions and His law and His wisdom. And He compares them to those things that man desires most to have. If you had a wish book or only had one wish, God says, "I'll put my laws above your highest wish, and they are of more value." It's a sad, mixed up state of affairs when the Christian would rather lose his Bible than lose his silver. You think about that statement now. It's a sad, mixed up state of affairs when you'd rather lose the Word of God than lose your gold, if you have any. lose your gold or your rubies or whatever's precious to you. We have our priorities in the Christian life all mixed up. And that's what we're talking about this morning. This is one of the hardest lessons God can ever teach His children. There's something worth more than gold and silver and rubies and diamonds. Whatever else you put value on in this world. And God said, it's my word. Now the Bible is nothing but a book of God's wisdom and God's commandments. But look at verse 6 of chapter 8. The word of God speaks of excellent things. Excellent things. That is, it deals with key issues. Key issues. You got a problem? It has something to say about it. Secondly, in verse 6 he says, it speaks of right things. That just simply means things that are beneficial to you. In verse 7 it says, he speaks truth things. That is, things you're not going to prove wrong. Or you can try. And I've tried. But you'll find out that what he says is the truth. And then in verse 8 he says, I speak righteous things. Things that'll build your character. That'll make you pleasing in God's sight. And he says, such wisdom is the greatest treasure that man can find. It's greater than all the treasure that you can find in the world in which you live. A handful of God's commandments are more valuable than a fistful of gold. Now that's what God says. It's not this morning whether or not you agree with Him. I'm just telling you what God says. But I might add, the Holy Spirit really has a job cut out for Himself if He's going to convince the Christian of this notion that God states in Proverbs 7 and 8 about His Word. This attitude that we have penned by Solomon, I have to admit, is not the same attitude that's held by most Christian people. Maybe it's not held by you. Why not? Is Solomon wrong? Is Solomon wrong? I mean, he had all the gold. He was the richest man, as far as I know, that ever lived. He had all the gold and all the silver and all the treasures and all the land. He was a king. That's what he said. When he got through looking at all his gold and silver and all his treasures, he said, all is vanity. Not all. The wisdom of God's not vanity. A man of experience gives a testimony. Is Solomon wrong? Is the comparison that he makes between the treasures of this world and the wisdom of God incorrect? These are serious questions. Is the Bible in error? Is God lying about His Word? Or is there some other reason why so many Christians reject this idea of God, that the Word of God is more precious than gold, and that you should rather lose your gold than lose your Word of God? If Bibles were in short supply today, would you trade in a diamond for one? Or a ruby if you had one? Or would you take in a gold cougar rod and buy one? Now, most Christians, I must say, would probably say, I should say not. Man, I ain't gone off the rocker yet. Huh? Buy my gold and my diamonds while they're worth 10 times what a Bible be worth. I never give up my treasures of this life for the Word of God. And with that kind of attitude today, is it any wonder that within the church we have so many dropouts, so many empty pews, so many people that are has-beens, that are go-astrays, that are unfaithfuls? With that kind of attitude, it's no wonder the church has real problems today, attracting and influencing and holding Christian people. For what is the church? I don't know what your definition is, but the definition of the Bible is the church is a dispenser of God's wisdom to a people who are hungering for the Word of God. What we stock in the church shelf, or on the church shelf, is the Word of God. Or at least that's what we're supposed to be doing. It's our major commodity. We sing about it, we pray about it, we preach it. It's our basic commodity. We teach it in Sunday school. And then if you don't like the Word of God, man, the church is done for. That's what it's all about. That's the name of our game. That's our purpose for existence. Now, in church, you look at things from the viewpoint of God's wisdom. I don't tell you what Billy Brunson thinks. I don't ask what you think. We don't share our views and opinions and ideas. I try to look at things from the view of God. And ask you to do the same thing. And that's why I ask you to bring a Bible. Look in there yourself. What I think doesn't make any difference. I'm not God. What he thinks, you see, is important. At least as a church, we ought to believe that. But it seems that so many people don't like to look at what God says. They don't like to think like God thinks. And they don't like what God says. They don't like to hear it. Why? Because it doesn't sit well with them. Now, I've been like this myself for years. Now, this theme cannot help but call to mind to me now the story of the lame man that was met by Peter and John on the way to the temple to pray. The man, being a cripple, held out his hands and he asked for some money, alms, a handout. And then there came those famous words of Peter, "Silver and gold have I none." And we say, oh, poor Peter. Now, I tell you, I feel sorry for old Peter. Silver and he broke. I mean, he broke. "Silver and gold have I none." Well, they had to be out of the will of God. Because God wants all his folks with silver and gold, pockets full of it. Now, that's what you hear a lot of radio preachers say. I heard, well, God wants you wealthy. Poor Peter and John, misfits in God's kingdom, didn't have a dime to the name. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." Well, what'd they have? Yeah, people say, well, I don't have any silver and gold. I've had it. No, John had and Peter had something else. What'd they have? They had the will of God. They had the word of God. They had the wisdom of God. They had the laws of God. And I might add, they had the mind of God about that crippled guy. And he ought to rejoice, and I believe he did. They gave him something better than silver and gold. They gave him the will of God for his life, and that was he was healed. But we take pity on poor old Peter and John, and we think worse of them than we do that poor afflicted guy laying there. Now, they had no worthwhile treasure. You think about it. And they were God's two leading saints in the church. God's favor was upon them. They were in the will of God. Broke. No silver and no gold. According to the world's opinion, they were in a bad shape. But the lame man found that there was more blessing and more help in the wisdom they had than in the gold they could have been given them or to him by them. Now, how can we explain today in the church that we still have the beggar's opinion, the beggar's attitude towards what makes you happy? The beggar said, what I need is silver and gold. And we have the beggar's attitude today in the church. There's a song that Christians used to sing, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold." I hadn't heard that in a long time. Not since silver and gold went up so much. Now we sing, "I'd rather have silver and gold than anything untold." We sing a new song. But I'm afraid it's not the song of Proverbs 7 and 8. It's the proverb of the world. It's not a new song. Now, I can expect that from non-Christians, but you don't expect that song to be sung by Christians. "I'd rather have silver and gold than anything untold." Well, you know, when God gave us Christians new birth, he tried to eliminate this problem. He tried to set things straight. Look at Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. God said, "A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'm going to take away the old stony heart, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, and I'm going to put my spirit within you." Now notice the next part. "And I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes. I'm going to get you to prefer my word, my will, my commandments to silver and gold. I'm going to get you to walk in my statutes and to keep my judgments, and I'm going to get you to do them." I want to add this, not unless he can convince me they're worthwhile, you won't. But when he made you a Christian, he gave you the capacity to be able to see that the word of God was more valuable than any treasure that this world deems to be very valuable. Well, then what's the problem, preacher? I mean, if I've been made on the inside, my heart's in the right place, what's the problem? Well, I've discovered that the problem is that I still have my head screwed on backwards. That's the problem. I got a good heart, but a bad mind. Got a bad head. Look at Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. I'm afraid I'm going to have to finish this sermon tonight, because we're not going to have enough time. Philippians 2:5, and it's important enough for me to give the time to. Let this mind be in you. Now, we got the heart of Christ. We got that in conversion. We have the heart of Christ. But notice here what we still need. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We just don't need a heart change. We need a mind change. Let me put it to you this way. If Jesus, while he was on this earth, had not have treasured the wisdom of his Father more than earth's treasures, I'll guarantee you he would have never gone to the cross. Never would have. Had he not treasured the wisdom of God with the power he had, he would have made himself rich, famous, I won't say fat, but he made himself lazy, because he could have snapped his fingers and got what he wanted. He could turn rocks into gold nuggets. The old hymn that lays the gold egg would have had nothing on what he could have done. Go up and get money out of fish's mouths? Man, what could you do? But had he not known the wisdom of God was superior to what the world considers riches, he'd have never gone to the cross. To think that going to the cross was better. And by the way, he had no place to lay his head either. If he had the world's philosophy, he wouldn't only had a place to lay his head, but he had a house to lay the bed in. And it would probably been made out of gold and pearls and diamonds, because he had his fingertips the control of the universe. He could steal the stars. Now, Jesus himself did not have the mind that the world's riches are more important than the wisdom of God. He said, it's my will to do the will of my Heavenly Father. That's more important. That's better. And because he did that, you and I have salvation. If he'd have taken the world's route and just decided to make himself rich, you and I should be going to hell. Jesus was convinced God's way was the better way. God's way was the better way. Are you convinced of that? Even to the point that it became distasteful to the human body. I have begun to learn that almost 100% whatever God asks is distasteful to my old human body. I'm just now beginning to learn my body's not my friend. It's just not my friend. It's against me being the kind of person that God wants me to be. It dominates my life. It gets me all wrapped up in it. It wants to be petted and pampered and pleased, while my body wants to totally dominate my life. Begin to learn that my body's not my friend. Now, this Christian is supposed to cater to the longings of his new born-again spirit. Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight. God's word is precious to the inward man. But I also find, as Paul did, that the Christian still caters to the old carnal flesh and worldly body. Just caters to it. As some have said, we're too soft on ourselves. We have spoiled not our children, we have spoiled ourselves. I think here's where the problem really lies. Instead of allowing the Word of God, the law of God, the commands of God to captivate our thought and our attention, to captivate our mind, we still allow our old body and our old carnal flesh to hold sway over our mind. That's the problem. Just give my old body what it wants, or it'll have a hissy fit. My brother and I am about to learn, just let it have a hissy fit. You say, oh, that's uncomfortable. I think the cross was uncomfortable. Huh? And here's where the problem lies. Now, God is clear where he stands, no doubt about it, regarding the appetites of the body. He's clear. He is clear where he stands regarding the lust of the flesh. There is no doubt about it. And he is clear about the priorities that we ought to have as inhabitants of this world. Now, his plan is that we develop the mind of Christ regarding our flesh and our human body and the world that we live in. You have been so trained and so influenced by the world's thinking that that's very difficult to do. We are so trained there's only one way to think, and that is my happiness depends on getting gold and silver and rubies and treasures and all my heart's desire. That's the way we're trained from the day we are born to this very day. That's the way the world says it has to be. And God says that is a lie. Peter didn't have it. John didn't have it. Paul didn't have it. Jesus didn't have it. And I don't find they were miserable. We are to develop the mind of Christ regarding the human body. I can imagine the body of Christ had one screaming fit in the Garden of Gethsemane. I know mine would. And he had a body like mine. I guarantee you I wouldn't want to get hung on no cross. Somebody might shoot me and make sure they hit me in the heart. So it'll be a second and it'll be over. I don't want to sit there and hang on no cross. So I had big old nails driven through my hands and my wrists, and somebody just thinking, taking a crown of thorns and jamming on my head. Man, my old body already says, ah, you know, flee, man, flee. That's what old Peter tried to get Jesus to do. When Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified, and Peter said, man, run. That's the way the body thinks, and that's natural. Because the body says, yeah, I'm the one that's going to suffer, big boy. And that's right. It is. But what is the mind of Christ regarding the body? What is the mind of Christ regarding the flesh? And the mind of Christ regarding the world? And our time is gone. I tell you, I still got four more pages to preach. And there's no way I can work that in this morning. It'd be unfair to you to rush through it. Hope you come by. I'm sorry. But you see, you're going to be confronted with the decision, well, is it really worth it to go back? That's up to you. I've got some answers for you. I think you need to know how God thinks in this matter of prosperity and how he's going to deal with you in the area of prosperity. Because all of us have a hang up in this area. And we need to know what's the mind of Christ. What does God say about this? Is it God's will to prosper the Christian? We'll talk about that tonight. Father, we're thankful this morning for your word. We do regret that we don't have time to continue on, but we do pray that you will cause the people to seriously think about tonight returning. For what is said is the word of God, and what else is more valuable than the word of God? You say it's more precious than rubies and gold, and I doubt if anyone tonight will stay home that they might collect some more gold and silver. May we come, and may we be blessed by thy word, for it is the commodity of this church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.